We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jeff Hathorn has walked into the booth. It's our pleasure to have him here.
Good afternoon, gents.
You were over there at Kyle Dubas today, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I was.
So the floor is yours, Jeff. Did you say hello to Paul? Paul?
Hello, Jeff. Paul.
Hi, Jeff. Paul. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good, you?
I'm good.
What stood out to you?
Ooh, there was a lot of dancing.
Yeah?
You know, a lot of, he even said at the beginning, listen, I'm probably not going to give you the answers that you want. He did, in his way, rip Ryan Graves, rip Erik Karlsson, said the power play was on everybody, from him to the coaches to the players' execution. And he said that they can't expect to play like Carolina with the group that they have. Like, they need to play a little differently, and you know, they've got some work to do because they're not in the range yet with Carolina and the Rangers, and that's what they're going to work this offseason.
I read something from Rossi where he said basically that Dubas, maybe it was Rossi or Yoey or Rob Yoey.
One of those E's.
Rob Yoey or, you know, Josh Rossi. Where basically they're going to formulate their rebuild, quote unquote, or their reconfiguration, they're going to sort of model it after what the Kings did. What does that mean?
That means that they'll be able to play a little different way, but not have to wait forever to rebuild.
Maybe not forever, but I found that interesting too, and I went back and looked at some stories. How did the Kings rebuild? Well, they stockpiled draft picks. They got a lottery pick, second overall, and got a pretty good player. I don't know if the Penguins are getting that. And they made a bunch of trades, and they missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. So if he's wanting to launch that, do these last 2 years of missing the playoffs count, or are we looking at three more years of missing? Like where does he – how is he going to execute this without sinking to the point where they're not a contender at all? And – the Kings had 3 years in a row where they had 71, 64, and 49 points. Now, that was in a shortened season. But 49 points, and then they wind up with the second pick in the draft. Man, that sounds like some pain ahead if that's the model he's going to take, Jeff.
Well, let's look at the reality. When the Penguins have been Stanley Cup champs, the reason they got to that point is because they were horrible for stretches.
Yeah.
Horrible. Not just missing out on the playoffs, but like out of it in February bad. And I mean, if you're going to have a transformation using the draft, that's where it's going to be. I mean, it's so hard to find players when you're picking that late and you've traded draft picks. And I don't begrudge that. They have Crosby, Malkin, Letang. They've got these guys for right now. You got to try to win for right now. I just don't know what this group, I mean, I don't know if they're capable of playing the way they did the last 3 weeks over the span of a season.
That's the thing we've seen. You know, that's the thing we've seen the most from this team is that they have these stretches where they play that way. And then everybody, all of us, getting really excited and say, okay, they figured it out. And then they have these long stretches where they revert back to trying to play a way that is not conducive to winning given their skill set that they have. And you know, again, it comes back to the elephant in the room. It sounds like Mike Sullivan is okay and he's going to survive this. And if he wants to make changes on his coaching staff, it's going to be up to him and not up to Kyle Dubas. Yeah. I mean, did you get any sense that there could be some changes coming down the pike?
So he was asked about that, and he kind of tiptoed around of, well, we have to have meetings and we're going to have discussions. But in all of his talk, it was always about working with Mike. There was not any doubt of working with Mike Sullivan during all of it. Now, could there have been some doubt in reading into what he was saying about some of the assistants? Yes. But he kind of couched that by saying, we haven't had some of those talks yet, and we need to have those organizational discussions before we make those decisions. So, I mean, he sounded like it was going to be Sully. And listen, guys, the big thing I think is to take away from me is what killed this team was they pouted like children right before and right after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, they emotionally went in the tank for about 2 weeks.
And credit Lars Eller for saying that.
And Lars Eller said, and you know what? Dubas kind of backed that up today.
He kind of backed that up.
Not as forceful as Eller, but he did admit that basically, well, the way he put it was, in late February and early March, they were playing like a high lottery team, is the way he phrased
wow.
it.
Wow. I mean, I remember saying it that day because the night they lost to the Capitals 6-0 was the night that news broke that Gensel would be traded or they'd agreed to terms. The trade deadline was the next day. So I remember coming in the next day and saying, you know, that was just inexcusable. They basically quit. So what happens if they trade somebody else on the deadline today? What, do they forfeit the next two games?
Well,
this is professional hockey.
What's going to happen if they make trades this summer? A guy's going to get pouty during their workouts and think, oh, we're done because we traded whomever it is, Riley Smith or somebody. Oh, you know.
Yeah, it was sad to see them go in the tank like that. And then the nerve of Mike Sullivan to talk about what a great group of professionals they are. Well, no, they're not, Mike. What happened around the Gensel trade?
Right.
Not very professional.
And I said, starting with that Capitals game where they basically looked like they quit, they were 2-7-1 in their next 10 games. That stretch is why they didn't make the playoffs.
Yep. Yes.
Period.
Yes. And there were some earlier losses. Like, you remember that trip out west where they fell asleep in that third period in Vegas and then basically didn't show up in Arizona. Like, you get it. At least a point out of that, where are you sitting now?
Right.
I mean, a point.
What was the general vibe over there?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There were still a lot of questions. Like, he still had to answer a lot of questions with this team. Like, you know, times you get the vibe like, hey, we've got the answers, and wait till next year. This is more like, we got some work to do, but we feel good about Carlson finally breaking out. And like I said, he was critical of Ryan Graves and said this is a huge summer for he and Tristan Jarry to kind of elevate their games coming into camp. And he mentioned, you know, now they go into camp next year with Blomqvist, and if he has a really good playoffs, I mean, he's not going to sit there. He's not Jim Rutherford where he's going to say, listen, we're thinking about trading somebody. He's not that type of GM. But you got to think that Jarry is on the table. If the better Blomqvist continues to play down there, you don't bring up a young guy and just sit him behind somebody for 4 years.
Did he convey more of a sense of disgust than Sully did? Because Sully really made it sound like, wow, we finished so well. I feel better than I did last year missing the playoffs. And I don't think that's what people want to hear. What was the –
He had more disgust than Sully.
Good.
And I think Sully was just kind of checked out. Like, I don't want to I don't have answers. I haven't had the deep dives yet. It was, you know, hours after they played their final game. And, like, he either didn't want to or hadn't kind of processed a lot of that stuff.
Were you guys, both of you, surprised at the tack that Sully has taken with this team? And what I mean by that is when he came here, he was spitting fire. He was yelling at the stars on the bench. He was putting people in their place. He has that sort of tough Bostonian aura about him. And it seems in these past few years, and especially this year, he just is never inclined to rip his team. Just never. Does he do it behind closed doors? Does he? Because this is a team that deserves ripping.
Occasionally, and I can't say I've been to every practice, but the practices I've been at, rarely. But again, in practices, I mean, they're doing things the right way. You don't see them really slacking off in those workouts. I think it's probably this too. Not only has he built relationships with some of those guys, but it's such a veteran group that maybe with a younger team, he felt like he had to yell. And with these guys, they should know better. And I think that, I mean, as much as a lot of this is on Sullivan, I mean, Ryan Graves got to learn that damn system and play better hockey. Riley Smith can't pout that he got traded and I don't like it here and I'm not, you know, it's not working with Evgeny Malkin. Those guys can't pout after they are rumored to lose a teammate, then lose a teammate. And that's on those guys, too. It's not just on Sullivan. These are adults, and they're getting paid good money to play the game and be ready to play.
But part of that, to me, is it's on Sullivan because it's sort of – he sets the tone. And if guys are basically, like you said, pouting or not playing well or whatever, it tells me that maybe his message is no longer – really 100% resounding in that room. And at some point you have to change that message. You can't fire players. You can't get rid of a lot of players. The easiest and best change or biggest change you can make in a hurry is by changing the voice in the locker room in the form of the head coach. Now, one thing that I thought was interesting was there was at least three different cases where he said that guy's got to play better. Carlson, you know, he didn't play well at the beginning. He played better, you know, played better at the end, and hopefully that's what we see next year. I think it was
Graves.
Graves, you know, has got to play. And Jari. Smith. And yeah. Jari. Four guys, right? Outside of Carlson, and maybe to a lesser degree, Graves. I mean, it's Jari. What evidence is there that he can play an entire season at a high level and be the guy that they signed him to be? He has to play better. Okay, well, good. I don't look at analytics charts, don't really understand a lot of hockey analytics, but I can tell you, I can come up with the idea that Tristan Jarry has to play better.
Well, I mean, they went with the reasoning that they were riding the hot hand, and I get that. It was the postseason. This guy was winning. But if you look at the numbers, there were excuses. There were reasons that you would go back to your number one goalie. But you didn't. And I think that tells you something right there. Sullivan said yesterday that, well, you know, there were stretches of games where Jarry played a lot in a row. Well, yeah. And while every game does matter, that was October, November, December. Not when you had to win to keep your playoff hopes alive. Who did you turn to?
Right. Well, I mean, of course Jarry played a lot of games in a row. That's why they just paid him $30 million.
And Dubas mentioned again the massive potential of Tristan Jarry. Well, he's 28. I realize goalies' careers last longer.
Yeah,
but when are you going to see that? And I don't know. Blomqvist to me is a real intriguing figure because if he has a really good postseason, like I said, why do you need to have? I mean, why not give him a shot?
I agree. Finally, Jeff, and we appreciate you coming in. Well, I guess I have a couple quick questions about the Penguins. Is Sid going to play in the World Championships?
No.
And would you recommend he's not?
He's not.
I think that's good. Get the rest.
I do not. I don't think so. And neither is O'Connor.
Rest, no risk. Yeah. Neither's O'Connor. Anybody else?
Well, the Tang's hurt, so he's not.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be surgery for him.
Yeah, he's getting a second opinion, but I mean, Joe, you covered the team when Letang was around. You know this guy plays through everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he played 82 games, it's not excusing some of the things he did wrong. But
I mean, that's the scary part to me, Jeff, is that these last couple of years, Letang, Gino, and Sid, I think they've all played every game. No, Letang was hurt a little bit last year. Gino and Sid have played every game for 2 years. Letang's played most of them. Carlson played every one. At this age, that's a miracle. There's no way that's going to continue. So they could go out and make changes and things like that, and there's still the age factor. Everybody's a year older.
It's so funny because Sid said yesterday, said, I wish I was playing 81 or 80 because normally that was because they were resting me at the end because I didn't need to because we were already in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're doing this with their stars playing every game and Sid still playing at an unbelievable level. Mm.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.